更加的好听。Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How does the incarnation work? Is human being higher than a cow? A male higher than female? This question is about what is popularly known as reincarnation. More precisely, the term is transmigration of the soul. The soul moves from one body to another. This process is explained by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So how does the process of changing bodies work? Very simple. Just like you have changed from your baby body to a young person's body, adult's body, and you'll go into an old body and then die, Similarly, after death you take another body. The body is always changing, but the soul remains the same. This is Lord Krishna's beginning teachings in Bhagavad Gita. According to your consciousness at the time of death, you get another body. Krishna explains, Yam yam vapi smilan bhavam chajante kalevaram. Whatever is the predominant flavor of your consciousness at the time of death, that draws to you an appropriate type of gross material body. In other words, the subtle is the basis or the groundwork for the gross. The gross physical body is built upon a template of the subtle body. Subtle body means your mental desires and emotions. So this is how the process works. Is a human being higher than a cow? Yes, because a human being has developed consciousness more than a cow. You don't see any cows here at the meeting. Human beings can have inquiry into what is the nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Is a male higher than a female? No, because females can do a lot of things that men can't do. Are there any men here who can give birth? Are there any men here who can nurse a baby? Similarly, men can do things that ladies can't do. Are there any ladies here who can father a child? The different types of bodies have their different advantages and disadvantages. In any case, we're not the body. The spirit soul is eternally different from the body. So we're neither male nor female, human being or whatever. We are spirit soul, part of Krishna, the Supreme Soul. Sometimes it is said in the Vedic literature, if you want to get into it, it's said in the Vedic literature that a female body is a little more tough to obtain enlightenment in. That can be so because of having to be absorbed in raising children. Every mother knows that puts your consciousness a certain way when you're raising children. You have to focus on nesting and providing like that. Generally, women like to have children, generally. Especially in more traditional societies. Nowadays, many ladies put career first. The statistics, for example, for what country? For the UK, I know the statistics for the UK. Let's say 20 years ago, a woman would have children at the age of 22. That was the average age that a woman would start having children in the UK. Now the average age is 32. Many ladies put their career first. Also, other statistics from the UK show that in the age group of 22 to 32, the women are far more career conscious than the men. The men are getting exhausted with competing at work and trying to get ahead. But the ladies, they're new into the competitive job market and corporate ladder climbing. So they, according to British social statistics, the ladies have more oomph, more drive to get ahead, to climb the corporate ladder. The men are kind of fatigued from it all. Then there's also the phenomenon that ladies in the Western working world, the ones who absorb themselves in their career and put their career first, they find that by the time they're 38, 39, 40, all of a sudden it hits them, oh no, I want to be a mother. I believe recently it was in Australia, there was a big scam where some clever men, they formed a company for making a dating agency for highly placed ladies, you know, banker type ladies, bank executive type ladies, ladies who had devoted everything to their career, and by the time they were 38, 39, 40, they started to panic. Oh no, I do want to settle down, I do want a family, but I've got no time. My job is all in all. I got no time to start relationships. I wouldn't even know how to start, and I have to have a man who's, you know, on my level. You know, I'm vice president of the bank. I have to have a man who's, you know, who's also vice president. Otherwise, so that made that restricted their possibilities even further. Number one, they had been out of the social circuit for so long, just working hard at their job to get ahead. And then number two, once they got the high position, they had to also have a man who had a similar high position. So these clever men formed this business that, you know, don't worry, we'll solve your problem. You pay us $10,000 and we will provide you the names of qualified male bachelors who, you know, are high social standing and high positions in companies. So many ladies in Australia, they paid $10,000, yes, yes, help us, help us. And then the dating agency would send them referrals, you know, nice men who, you know, like that. But later it turned out that these men were just like ordinary guys off the street. It was all a scam. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says anyone can go back to Godhead. Business persons, women who are concerned with their families, if they become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, anyone can go back to Godhead. It's like usually it's difficult for men absorbed in business to become spiritually minded. Because business is very entangling, it's very draining on your consciousness. Similarly, raising a family, you can remember how your mother or if not your mother, your grandmother, how they were so immersed in family affairs. It takes a lot of absorption. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yepi Yanti Parangata, everyone can go back to Godhead if they take up Krishna's instructions. During Vedic culture, during Vedic civilization, you could more easily make distinguishments in society. Those who are truly brahmanas, they are more inclined towards spiritual knowledge. You can make discriminations based on various bodily types. But the Vedic literature says, in the age of Kali, the present age of quarrel and hypocrisy, everyone is born Sudra, Kalo Sudra Sangam. Everyone is born with like a laborer mentality, not interested in spiritual knowledge. So, in this present age of Kali, no particular gender or bodily type can really stick out their chest and feel proud. Just by virtue of taking birth in Kali Yuga, you automatically are panchamam, fifth class, outside the Vedic system of ashrama and dharma, ashrama and varna. everyone can take shelter of the Hare Krishna mantra and attain the supreme destination. There are no social roles now. There's no social guidelines. Everything is topsy-turvy in the Western world, and it's starting to affect even those from India. People are thinking the more topsy-turvy everything is, the more advanced society is. People don't know how to be parents anymore. Often people don't even know what gender they are. They don't think it matters. Children don't know what it means to have a parent. Parents don't know what it means to have children. It's all becoming upside down. Meanwhile, the technology is becoming faster. Computers, cars, communication systems are becoming faster, but people's internal quality is deteriorating rapidly. In Krishna consciousness, of course, we give everyone a chance. Male, female, everyone can chant Hare Krishna. I do 8 rounds a day, but I spend more time reciting notable prayers. I feel guilty when I do not say my other prayers and just concentrate on chanting more rounds. What should I do? When you go to a doctor, you have to take the doctor's prescription. You shouldn't feel guilty about following the doctor's prescription. The Vedic scriptures say, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gati Anyata. In the age of Kali, there's no other means, there's no other means, there's no other means of obtaining spiritual perfection except chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So, if you go to a doctor, and he says, there's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way. You have to take this medicine. Then you take the medicine. What would you tell the doctor? But I have other medicines I'm fond of. Would you say that? Now, if you want to get well, you would thank the doctor for giving you the specific remedy for your disease. Therefore, in answer to this question, one should always chant Hare Krishna, because chanting Hare Krishna includes all the other prayers and glorifications. You're watering the tree at the root by chanting the Maha Mantra. You're not missing anything. But if you try to water each leaf on the tree independently, it's a very hit and miss process. But you just put that water at the root of the tree, of the plant, everything is benefited. I know that many of our guests and members from Indian backgrounds, your parents have traditions reciting certain prayers, certain shlokas. Still, you should understand that by chanting Hare Krishna, everything is covered. Sometimes it is very lonely being a spiritual person. How do we overcome the feeling of isolation and still function within the outside world? Yes, to be a genuine spiritual person, to be Krishna conscious, in one sense it's not easy these days because you don't have any support from your family, your friends, society, the government. In a real human civilization, you would get that support. But you're becoming Krishna conscious in hostile environment. Very
heavily materialistic environment. So you can feel a bit lonely on your own. So in that sense, it is difficult. But in another sense, to become Krishna conscious is very easy. That's why we have this place where you can come and associate with like-minded persons. Birds of a feather flock together. In good association, anything becomes easy. Therefore, everything depends on the quality of our association. We should try to associate with devotees, practitioners who are moving forward, who are progressive, and will also get the enthusiasm to move forward. But if you look for fulfillment, if you look for encouragement in the material world, in the matrix of illusion, then you'll be very disappointed. You'll feel very lonely. You have to look in the right place for what you want. You will be like whom you associate with. If you associate with materialists, it'll be very easy to be a materialist. If you associate with Krishna conscious persons, it'll be very easy to be Krishna conscious. Karma. Some good people are getting miseries. Life in the material world means mixed happiness and distress. Everyone has done some sinful activity, so they get bad karma in this life. And everyone has done some pious activity, some punya, so they get good karma in this life. There's always a mixture. Sukha, dukkha. Happiness, distress. They come together. You can't have one side of the coin without the other, because this is the world of duality. Hot, cold, wealth, poverty, sickness, health, happiness, distress. Both things have to be there. And who determines who is a good person? I was in California 2 months ago, and they're having huge forest fires. Forest fires that were 90 kilometers long. And the flames were... ...30 meters high for 90 kilometers. So... outlying areas of the cities were being burned. One neighborhood, 300 homes went up in smoke in a few minutes. 300 homes, valued at $500,000 each, just gone in a few minutes. Other areas, the fire just jumped around, apparently with no rhyme or reason, according to the patterns of the wind. One person's house was left standing, and all around, everyone else's house was devastated. After the fire subsided, the priests and ministers of the churches, they reported that the number one question they're getting from their congregation is, "Why did my house burn down and not my neighbor's?" Why me? This is the law of karma. Everyone's getting the reactions to their actions. And who is a good person? Who determines who is a good person? Of course, if you ask yourself, you'll say, "Yeah, I'm a good person." I mean, I have a few faults, but no more than anybody else. I've done some bad things, I've done some good things. So I'm a good person. If you check the opinion surveys, you'll find that, for example, I know in the USA, 80% of the Americans feel that they're going to heaven after death. So everyone thinks, I'm okay, I'm a good person. Good persons are yourself and your friends. And anyone who lives the way you think life should be lived, that's a good person. What is the real standard to judge what is good? The standard to judge what is good comes from the all good. Krishna is all good. Krishna is the source of everything. Therefore, we take our standard for judging what is good, what is dharma, from the creator of dharma. We cannot make dharma. This is a firm principle of spiritual science. The tiny living entities, even human beings, they're so tiny. We cannot make up what is dharma. What is dharma descends from the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharma descends from Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Is there a difference in the potency of prasad that has been offered by a neophyte, Kanishtha Adhikari, and an advanced Udumaya Adhikari devotee? Devotion always makes a difference. The more loving your devotion is, the more tasty the prasad will be. The more spiritually potent the prasad will be, according to the devotion. That's why you can read in Chaitanya Leela how Lord Chaitanya, he would visit Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami came from a rich family. But he left his family to live as a mendicant, a renunciate, with Lord Chaitanya and his associates. So Raghunath Das Goswami's family, they wanted to make sure their son was okay, so they would always send money so their son could live comfortably. But he would never spend the money on himself. He would just use it to make big lunches for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then he stopped doing that, thinking, oh, this is materialism, relying on my parents' wealth. So what did he do next? He would go to the gate of the Jagannath Puri temple where the beggars would stand, and he would ask for alms from the people coming out of the temple for some food. Then he thought, that's too materialistic. Just standing there begging. So then he started going to the spot outside the Jagannath Puri temple where the decomposed prasad was thrown, and then the cows would eat it there. And sometimes the cows wouldn't touch parts of it, it was just too much decomposed. Then Raghunath Das Goswami would come and pick through it and get some rice. And of course he stopped inviting Lord Chaitanya for lunch. So Lord Chaitanya heard about this, how Raghunath Das Goswami would go to where the decomposed prasad was being thrown out, where the cows would eat it and then leave it, and then Raghunath Das Goswami would come and pick through it and get some few grains of rice and take it home, wash it, and eat it. Lord Chaitanya heard about this, and he came to see Raghunath Das Goswami. What is this? You don't invite me for lunch anymore. Raghunath Das Goswami said, but I'm no more taking money from my family Therefore, I stopped inviting you. Lord Chaitanya said, but I've heard there are big feasts going on here. And Ranganathas Goswami said, I'm simply eating a few grains of rice that I pick up, you know, after the cows. Don't want anymore. Lord Chaitanya said, where is that wonderful prasad? Ranganathas Goswami tried to protest. No, no, it's not worthy of you. No. But Lord Chaitanya saw some and grabbed it and ate it because of the devotion of his devotee. That's what made the prasad so wonderful. Those who are cooks, whether in the temple or at home, you have a great responsibility because your consciousness affects all those who will take the prasad that you prepare. So yes, devotion and the level of devotion determines everything. The more devotion, the tastier the offering is. We preach that 1,000 names of Vishnu equal one name of Lord Ram, and three names of Lord Ram equal one name of Lord Krishna. Is this equation with pious credit in consideration? If yes, people will argue that we are told not to chant for any pious credits. So how do we convince someone to chant Hare Krishna as the best method for spiritual realization? All the names of the Supreme Lord are equal, but at the same time, Krishna arranges to put special sweetness in his more intimate names. So the name Lord Ram is more intimate than Lord Vishnu, the name Lord Vishnu. And more intimate than the name of Lord Ram is Lord Krishna, the name of Lord Krishna. So all the names are equal, but Krishna has arranged that the more intimate names have more sweet flavor. The holy name of the Lord, however, is not punya, it's not pious activity. Although by chanting Hare Krishna, you'll get the effects of pious activity. Therefore the Bhagavatam says, Shinvata Sukata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Punya Shravana Kirtana. By hearing about the Lord's glories, the effects of pious activities develop in you. Still, chanting the Lord's holy name is not a pious activity. It is beyond punya, beyond the pious activity. What is the highest quality devotional service and why? And how to develop this type of quality with perfect process? This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Savai pumsam puro dharma yato bhakti atoksaje ahaitaki apratiyata yinatma supersedati. The highest quality of devotional service is that which most arouses your ecstatic love of Krishna. The most ecstatic love of Krishna is without material motivation and without interruption. As soon as you have a material desire, it interrupts your ecstatic loving service to the Lord. The more you simply serve Krishna just for the sake of serving Krishna, the better quality your devotional service is. How to develop this high quality? One requires guidance from a devotee and the mercy of a devotee. bhakti yoga is powered by the mercy of the Lord and the spiritual master. Those two things combined. Guru Krishna Prasad, that powers the process of bhakti. Everything is very personal. Could you comment on mind, which is said to be divided into conscious, subconscious, and superconscious minds? Superconscious mind is said to be the Supreme Godhead, Krishna, the Supreme Infinite Intelligence. You, the tiny part and parcel of Krishna, have senses. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has senses. You have a mind. The Supreme Lord has mind. But our minds, our senses are tiny and limited. Krishna's senses are unlimited. There's a difference between our mind and the mind of Krishna. But you can make your mind harmonious with Krishna's mind through the process of transcendental loving service to the Lord, bhakti yoga. You know the story about how Lord Chaitanya wanted to go to Vrindavan, but Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu wanted Mahaprabhu to come to Shantipur, to Advaitacharya's house. So Lord Chaitanya was in transcendental ecstasy, walking on the road, and he asked, "Is this the road to Vrindavan?" And Nityananda arranged that he would always hear, "Yes, yes, this is the road to Vrindavan. Just see, here is the Jumuna River," like that. And finally, Lord Chaitanya realized, "I've been tricked. This is not Vrindavan. What's happened? This is Advaitacharya's house in Shantipur." And so, what did Advaitacharya reply to Lord Chaitanya? He said, "Mora mana Vrindavana. Wherever your mind is, that is Vrindavan." Because in your mind, all the pastimes of Vrindavan are spontaneously taking place. So yes, you are in Vrindavan. You have not been cheated. Now come into my house. I have just a little bit of prasad for you. Only a handful of boiled vegetables. I promise you nothing more. So Lord Chaitanya said, all right. I eat very simply. Advaitacharya said, "Don't worry. As I said, just a handful, a palmful of steamed vegetables. That's it." So when Lord Chaitanya stepped inside, he found this huge feast of 30, 40 preparations. So Advaitacharya induced him to eat. Lord Chaitanya said, "How can I eat so much of this?" And Advaitacharya said, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every day at the Jagannath Puri temple, you eat 52 times a day, 52 offerings. So what's the difficulty?" So, Advaitacharya sat Mahaprabhu down. He sat Nityananda down, and the two lords began to honor prasad. Then Nityananda began to act like an avaduta, act like a spiritual, just spiritual madman. So Nityananda began to complain, "I thought I was going to break my fast today, but I can see there's not even enough food stuff to fill half my belly." And then Advaitacharya, he would say, "Please, don't spoil my religious principles. This is a Brahminical family. You're a madman. You're just beyond all Vedic regulations. Please, you're spoiling my Brahminical principles by your behavior. And then Nityananda Prabhu got even more angry, and he picked up some rice and he threw it at Advaitacharya. Some of the rice stuck to Advaitacharya's clothes, and then Advaitacharya began to get up and dance. Ah, I've been touched by rice thrown by Nityananda Prabhu. How fortunate I am. This is Chaitanya Leela. So yes, you can reach a most advanced stage of Krishna consciousness in which your mind is completely favorable for Krishna's pleasure. Your mind can become such that Krishna will accomplish his will through your mind. Just like the actual appearance of Lord Krishna's world is never to be thought of as the product of ordinary reproductive processes. Why does the Lord accept a mother? Why does he accept a father? Not that he needs a mother or father. Krishna is the father, the mother of all living entities. But he accepts someone as father. He accepts someone as mother because devotees want to love him in that way. But Krishna is the source of everyone and everything. Krishna has no prior cause. He is Sarva Karna Karna. He is the cause of all causes. But because some devotees want to love him as mother or father, he agrees to accept their love expressed in that way. Then what happens when it's time for Krishna to appear in this world? It seems like he's the product of the mother and father's processes, but that is not so. So you can read how Krishna appeared. First, he appeared within the pure mind of Vasudeva, the father. And then he transferred himself from the pure mind of Vasudeva to the pure mind of Devaki, the mother. And then, when it was time for childbirth, he simply appeared outside of Devaki. And just to show that he never does anything ordinary, Krishna appeared in this world outside of Mother Devaki with four hands, hair, fully dressed, clothes, jewels. Anyone? Any mothers here have a baby born like that? But that is how Krishna appeared in this world. Not that he was the product of some biological interaction of various secretions. No. First he transferred himself to the pure mind of Vasudeva, the father. From there he transferred himself to the pure mind of Devaki, the mother. And then he revealed himself outside of the mother with four hands, clothes, jewels, hair. So Krishna appeared as four-handed form. Why? Because he was worried. If I appear in my original two-handed form, Devaki, my mother, may not believe that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She's fearing. She's in a fearful situation. She's in the prison in Mathura, imprisoned by evil King Kamsa. I've come to relieve her of her fear. But if she sees me in my original two-handed form, resembling a human being, she may just take me as ordinary. Therefore, I'll come four-handed, so she knows this is definitely the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then what was Mother Devaki thinking when she saw Krishna appear four-handed? Devaki was thinking, oh, this is giving me anxiety. How am I going to hide a four-handed baby? Everyone will start talking about this. My child's in danger. It's been prophesied that King Kamsa, the evil king, will try to kill my child. But how do you hide conveniently a four-handed baby? Krishna, as I said, he was thinking the opposite. If I don't appear in four hands, then she won't believe I'm God. So there was this anxiety on both sides, this spiritual anxiety. So finally, Devaki asked Krishna, "My Lord," after she recited many suitable prayers glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she requested, "My Lord, please change into a two-handed form. It's much easier to keep everything covert in that way." So these examples show you how Krishna himself can appear in the pure mind of a devotee. Therefore, the pure mind or pure consciousness of a devotee is also called Dhamma, holy place, abode of the Lord. What do you know about Sri Aurobindo and what is his relation to Krishna? We would have to hear what is the philosophy of Sri Aurobindo. If he is saying exactly what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, then that is very good. If he's saying exactly what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Surrender to me. Always think of me. So if Sri Aurobindo is teaching, surrender to Krishna. Always become Krishna's devotee. Always think of Krishna. And that is good. If he is doing like that. If he is not, then what he is doing goes into the useless category. I do not know. I do not know. You have to evaluate by reading Bhagavad Gita as it is. If this person is saying what Krishna says, very good. If not, then out the window. Someone may be very literary. They may be very musical. They may be very intelligent in the world's estimation. But if they do not say what Krishna says, we're not interested. No matter who they are. So we are impartial, non-sectarian. If they say what Krishna says, we accept. If they don't say what Krishna says, we reject. It's all very fair. Someone may be a very nice scientist, very nice author, poet, philosopher, very good from the material point of view. But if they don't say what Krishna says, we reject. We'll say, "Oh, your poetry is very nice. Your philosophy is very nice. Your scientific inventions are very nice. But because you do not say what Krishna says, we reject you." This is non-sectarian. Everything simply depends on if you say what Krishna says. There are so many so-called spiritual teachers, so-called spiritual books. We don't have time to catalog all of them. We're too busy studying Lord Krishna's words, Bhagavad Gita, as it is. We wish well to everyone. At the same time, we know that without understanding what Lord Krishna says, what is the hope for human civilization? Someone may be a very good poet. That's okay. Give them a prize for poetry. But that doesn't mean that they know what Krishna knows. You understand? We are equally disposed toward all living entities. You can also blame Krishna for this standard. You know that verse in Bhagavad Gita? You might be, those of you from India, you might be afraid to show this verse to your friends. Namam duskatina mudha prapajyante naram. Krishna says, there are four types of persons who refuse to surrender to me. They're all different types of miscreants, lowest of the human beings, fools, knowledge stolen by illusion. So, you might think this sounds very severe. Anyone who doesn't surrender to Krishna has to be in one of those four categories. Miscreant, lowest of human beings, fool, knowledge stolen by illusion. It may make you feel uncomfortable, because Krishna does say that. So Srila Prabhupada gave us a very nice way how to present that verse. Maybe this will be easier for you. You can say to someone, personally, I think you're a nice person. But Krishna says, Mudha, what can I do? Personally, if you ask me, my opinion is you're a nice person. You write very nice speculations. You've created your own dharma. I think it's very nice. But Krishna says, Mudha. Krishna says, fool. What can I do? It's Krishna's fault. Yes, you can blame Krishna. I can only say what Krishna says, and he says, Mudha, fool. I'm sorry. I think you're nice, but you know Krishna. He has his way of saying things. What can be done? You can say like that. It's like often when I travel around the world, sometimes people ask me, what do you think of such and such a Baba or such and such a Baba? And I tell them the truth. I say, you know, I go to India at least once a year. I've been doing that for 30 years, and every town and village, so many Babas. I did not know which Baba you are speaking of. So many everywhere. In Bengal, if I'm walking up the road, someone will call out, "Hey, Baba!" So many Babas. So I cannot say about this Baba or that Baba. We just have to analyze what they are saying. If they're speaking what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, then very good. If not, we have no time for this. In this way, we avoid, confrontations and unnecessary arguments. We just say whatever Krishna says. If that's what this philosopher or poet is saying, then very good. If not, we don't have time. Some people think this is being sectarian. No. Understand what is the source of everything. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. I am the source of everything. Everything emanates from me. So our quest is to find out, to see how everything comes from Krishna. Then we'll easily accept that Krishna is the standard by which we measure everything. Why should you become upset by the standard? Why Krishna? Everything is Krishna. Krishna says, why do they always stress on Krishna? That's because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, everything comes from me. So it's not sectarian. It's just what Krishna says. What will you say if I say Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, everything emanates from him? Everything material, everything spiritual emanates from Krishna. What will you say? No, no, it emanates from me. Will you say that? You have some other better source of everything you would like to put forward? And why do you immediately protest about Krishna? He says, everything emanates from me. And then he gives you the bhakti yoga process by which you can verify how everything emanates from Krishna. So what more do you want? It's not blind faith. You just walk in the bhakti laboratory and you'll get the results. Is that sectarianism? Suppose I ask you, what is your name? And you say, oh, my name is Shrutichari. Oh, that's sectarian. It shows I just don't want to regard you in any kind of way. We have to find out what is what. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says he's the source of everything. So instead of just saying, no, no, it can't be, we should find out how it can be so. Otherwise, what knowledge do we have to say that Krishna is not the Supreme? If I say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you say, no, 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 that implies you know something. Why Krishna is not the source of everything? So say it. Why is not? Why is Krishna not the source of everything? Tell us. You said, no, 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 no. So many people can say that. No, 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 not Krishna. No. Well, what gives you that kind of knowledge? If you say, no, not Krishna, that implies that you know what is the source, and therefore you denied Krishna to be the source. But you'll always notice people have no better knowledge to offer. They can never offer any better knowledge than what's available in the Vedic literature. So they have no reason to say no, but they do it just out of habit, out of being biased. No, no, not Krishna. Well, who do you have to offer as the source of everything? Oh, you know, the whatever, the vague spiritual energy, the mystical force, the power that be, the... It's all right to be very vague about what is the nature of the Absolute Truth. But as soon as you are very specific and precise, people protest. Ooh, sectarian. Ultimately, this issue has to deal with whether the Absolute Truth is personal or impersonal. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that he directs the wanderings of every living entity. So why does he let us still exhibit our independence? Yes, Krishna does not interfere with your independence. He directs the wanderings of all living entities according to their desire. Just like you can smell the aroma of a flower, even though it's so subtle. Similarly, Krishna, he can be aware of your desire, even though desire is so subtle. So he directs the wanderings of all living entities according to their desire. And you have independence to desire as you like. But you cannot fulfill your own desires. Krishna fulfills your desires. Why does Krishna give us that bit of independence? Because there cannot be real love between the living entity and God without some independence. How many of you would like to be forced to have a relationship with someone? No. You want to feel that I have voluntarily chosen to care for this person. Similarly, Krishna doesn't want forced love. It's not of high quality. He wants voluntary love. If you feel that someone has voluntarily accepted your heart, you feel much better. Yes, I have value. Someone is voluntarily wanting. No one likes forced love. Everyone wants voluntary love. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, so therefore Krishna has arranged for himself to get the voluntary love of the living entities. When we make any decision in life, how do we know that this is made by our minute independence? Or is it Krishna's direction? That's why you need spiritual guides to point out what is best for Krishna. Bhakti yoga, the yoga of transcendental love and devotion, means always trying to do what is best for Krishna. And we need help to make that decision. Because life in this material world gets complicated quite often. You all have had experiences of complications in living in this world. You set out to do something good. You set out to do something that's not complicated. And then it turns into all kinds of complicated situations, misunderstandings. You've all had that feeling, yes? Being misunderstood. You had good intentions. You had a good plan, and it didn't work out. Therefore, we need guidance. How to practice bhakti in this world of complications. When we apply the process of Bhagavad Gita, and when we take guidance from someone who knows Bhagavad Gita, then we can see what is our will and what is Krishna's will. Should we concentrate our mind always at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna to achieve that, should we satisfy Radharani? And could you please explain about Srimati Radharani's lotus feet? Srimati Radharani is a very advanced subject matter. She's the best devotee of Lord Krishna. When you say Hare Krishna, you are referring to Radha Krishna. Go on chanting Hare Krishna, and gradually you'll be purified and you'll begin to understand the relationship between Radha and Krishna. When you chant Hare Krishna, you are concentrating on the lotus feet of Sri Krishna and Sri Radha. Just by hearing the sound vibration, Hare Krishna. And it's also when you worship Lord Chaitanya. Who is Lord Chaitanya? He's Krishna coming in a special way. He's Krishna coming as Radha Krishna combined. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. Lord Chaitanya is Sri Krishna and Sri Radha combined in one person. We have any questions from the floor? Maybe some of our new guests, if they're here. You're not a new guest. You are the grandfather Bhishma of the assembly. Hey, yes. But you're not new either. any newer ones? Don't be shy. Yes, you can ask. You are a student? Is this your first time here? Or, you're from Melbourne? So, what made you interested to come here? Mental peace. So much stress?
Not stress, but happiness.
You wanted more happiness. Yes. Krishna consciousness is the topmost happiness. Real happiness comes in unlimited quantity. That is spiritual happiness. Material happiness is always limited. It goes so quickly. So, you have been very intelligent to come here to find out about real happiness. understand real happiness, you must find what is the most important relationship in your life. The most important relationship is with Krishna. Krishna can perfectly satisfy your love in 12 different ways. Krishna consciousness is based on the reality that Krishna is the supreme satisfier of the living entities. The more we use our intelligence and our time to understand what is Krishna, the more successful our life will be. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yogeti tatvata chatva deham panar janma naiti mam eti sarjuna. If you can just understand properly, in truth, the transcendental reasons for the Lord's appearance in this world and his activities in this world, then upon giving up the present body, you won't take another material body in your next life. You'll revive your spiritual body in association with Lord Krishna. That's the best career goal. What time do you usually go on to?
Sorry?
What time do you usually go on to?
That's okay. It's good time, yeah.
Yes, we have. We're in the midst of Christmas season distribution of the best knowledge that human beings can get. So we don't want to slow that down. All right, one last question. If you do anything new, how will you know at first? You have to follow some instruction and then see. If you get some new software, you get Microsoft Office 2003. How do you know what are the new features? How do you know how it works? You have to follow the instructions and see the result. How do you know that Krishna and what he says is true? You follow the instructions, the results will be there. No blind faith. Just apply what Krishna says in your life, you'll see the result. All right. Thank you very much for coming. Hare Krishna.
Glory
to
Deva.
Hare Krishna.